And we're holding on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Now we're up to the third king in the Mishnah that we said that lost his place in Olam Haba. We went through Yeravam, we went through Achav, so now comes Menashe. So first, as the Gemara did with Yeravam of Achav, first the Gemara is going to darshan his name, and then we'll talk about what he, and then we'll talk about what he did. So first of all, Menashe, he's so called Shenosha Yudkei, because he forgot Hashem. And another explanation is that he caused the Jewish people to forget about Hashem because he brought Avodah Zarah into the kingdom of Yehudah. You have to realize, up until his time, by the way, you had the kings of Yisrael, like we were talking about yesterday, all the way back to Yerovam, had Avodah Zarah, and sometimes only the Egla Azahav, sometimes Baal and Asherah, like Achav brought in. Among the kings of Yehudah, occasionally you had, here and there, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, like we talked about yesterday with Ahaziah. They weren't making it a mass movement among the people. Menashe was really the first one to about 100, he started, he became king about 100 years before the Churban, a little over 100 years before the Churban. He's the first one who started bringing it massively among the people. So that makes things much worse. Marsha points out, by the way, the Shodesh Nosha also means to make something jump away or move away, like we find by the Gidah Nosha. So therefore, it means that he moved the Jewish people away from Hashem. So the Gemara continues. See, how do we know that Menashe is not coming to Olam Haba? The pasuk says, Menashe was 12 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 55 years in Yerushalayim. Vayas harab ene Hashem, or actually the actual pasuk is Vayas Asherah. Kasher also Achav, he made an Asherah like Achav did. Kasher also Achav Melch Yisrael, like Achav Melch Yisrael did. So the comparison is, Ma Achav ain lo chelik l'Olam Haba. Just as we learned yesterday, Achav lost his place in Olam Haba, Af Menashe ain lo chelik l'Olam Haba. By the pasuk comparing Menashe to Achav is to tell us that Menashe also lost his place in Olam Haba. Now, we said in the Mishnah, though, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Menashe yesh lo chelik l'Olam Haba. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and says that Menashe does have a place in Olam Haba. Shenemar vayispalu Menashe el Hashem, as the pasuk says, Menashe davened to Hashem after the whole thing where the soldiers of Asher took him prisoner, as we learned about the other day. Vayyosu loy and Hashem and Hashem responded to him, and Hashem accepted his tefillah. So therefore, the Yehuda says, we see therefore that he did tshuva, and therefore he won back his kingship. And so the Chachamim answered him, he won back his kingship. Doesn't mean that he won back his place in Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Echad Doshu. The fact is, the pasuk could be interpreted either way, but both of them are basing themselves on a different pasuk in Yirmiyah. To how they learn a different pasuk to tell, which mentions Menashe in this connection about whether it means that Hashem accepted his tshuva and gave him back his place in Olam Haba or not. Namely, the pasuk says, "Unesfatim l'zava," Hashem says about the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Churban, that I'm going to make them an object of horror, meaning everybody's going to look at them and be horrified that such things could happen. L'chol mam l'chol sa'aret, to all the kingdoms of the earth. V'glal Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu, because of Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu. So, what are we saying because of Menashe? Mar Sover, Beglal Menashe, Sha'asa Tshuva Ve'inu Lo Avud. So Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. It means, Menashe did Tshuva, but they didn't. So therefore, the Pasuk is blaming Hayitochen. Yes, you guys are worshipping Avodah Zarah and whatever, but why don't you take a lesson from Menashe, where he did Tshuva, and you do Tshuva as well. So you had from whom to learn, and therefore that makes, the Navi is telling them that makes your guilt much greater. So in that case, it means Menashe did really do Tshuva. In that place, he should have back his Chelek L'Olam Haba. Umar Sover, where's the Chachamim hold? It means because of Menashe, the Le'ovet Tshuva. It means because of Menashe, because in the first place he didn't do Tshuva and continued to cause the Jewish people to sin. So based on how we understand that pasuk is in turn how we're going to understand the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says that Hashem restored him to his kingship. Does it mean only to his kingship, or does it also mean to Chaya Olam Haba? Well, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan says, no, Kol Omer Menashe ain lechelik l'Olam Haba. Anybody who says, like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that Menashe does not have a place in Olam Haba, Mirap b'yedeim shabalei tshuva, that he's weakening the hands of Balei Tshuva. Because people are going to say, why should I bother doing tshuva? Listen, Menashe did tshuva, and he didn't get back his chelek on Abba. So in that case, it's hopeless for me also. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, you should say that he got back his chelek on Abba. Yesterday, we learned how he came to Rav Ashi, all offended, that you're including him, that we're including him together with the other kings. And Bechlal, also, we're going to learn tomorrow, and Daf Kuf Dalet, Best Hashem, we'll talk about a piece that the Dershe Rishumas, people are darshan things from Sukkim, darshan of all the people mentioned in our Mishnah, the six of the seven people mentioned in our Mishnah, do in fact have a Chelek Lelem Abba after all. The Gemara is going to darshan about Achav and Menashe and Yerovam and all the rest of them. So the only exception is Bilam. Okay, he wasn't a Yid. But anyway, the point is, so therefore, so that's another reason, says Rabbi Yochanan, with all of that, let's not continue saying that Menashe lost his place in my book, because that's going to discourage Bali Chuva. The Gemara continues, Zitoni Tana Kamei Rabbi Yochanan, as in fact a Tana taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan, a Braisa, Menashe Osa Chuva L'Shloshim V'Sholosh Shonim. Menashe spent 33 years of his life doing Chuva. How do we get that figure? We have the pasuk that we quoted before. Menashe was 55 when he was 12 years old when he became king. And he ruled in Yerushalayim for 55 years. Again, it actually says in the pasuk Asherah, Kasha also Achav Malach Yisrael. Now, before we said the comparison to Achav is they both lost their place in El Mabah. But now this Braisa is learning that the comparison is different. It's the number of years. Kama Moloch Achav, how long did Achav rule for? Esrim v'tartin shnin, he ruled for 22 years. Menashe Kama Moloch Hamishim v'chamish, Menashe ruled for 55. Dal minayu, Esrim v'tartin, so subtract 22, poshul lahu tlos and tlos, that leaves 33. So therefore we learn from that he was doing tshuva for 30, he was only a Rosha for 22 years, and then he did tshuva and was a Baal tshuva for the remaining 33 years. So now Rabbi Yochanan is saying, based on that, then it would be, we shouldn't be saying that he lost his place in Olam Haba, because what, he spent a third of a century doing tshuva, and you're still going to say he lost his place in Olam Haba, then that's going to discourage Baalei tshuva. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, my dichtiv, the pasuk says regarding Menashe and the whole story over there where he was captured and tortured and everything. The pasuk says Vayishma Elov. The pasuk says Hashem listened to him. Vayichoser loy. Vayichoser literally means that Hashem made a tunnel for him, like Bamachteres. So Vayichoser loy miboyloy. Shouldn't it say Vayichoser loy that Hashem listened to his tefillah? Like yeah, by other places where it talks about that somebody davened and Hashem listened to his tefillah. Now, the question that we have over here is the pasuk. If we look in a Tanakh in Divrei Yomim, we will not find that it says Vayichoser loy at all. It does say Vayichoser loy. So in that case, then what's the question? It says Vayichoser loy. So in fact, there's possibilities over here. There may have in fact been, we find in some places where the Masoda in Psukim that the Gemara had is different than the Masoda that we have. Rabbi Akiva Eger refers in one place in Masech Shabbos to many places throughout Shas and the Midrashim where we find such things, where they had a different Masoda in the words and the details of Psukim than we do. With that said, though, not everybody accepts that that's the point over here, and rather a different explanation is that the Gemara is saying that the fact is the word Vayichoser itself can be darshaned as Vayichoser. We often find that an ayin and a ches are interchangeable in Jerushas because they're both guttural letters. They're both pronounced in the back of the throat. At least they're supposed to be, and that's how Sfardim pronounce them. But in any case, in fact, the Yerushalmi in this connection mentions that the word machteres, meaning a tunnel, like when a ganav is breaking into a house, in some places they call it matauta. So also they take the ches and transform it into an ayin, so therefore the drasha over here is based on that concept. Anyway, so why does it say that expression? Malamed sha'osalai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'min machteres barakia. Means that Hashem made, so to speak, a tunnel for Menashe in Shamayim, k'del kabli b'tshuva, in order to receive his tshuva. M'tnei midas adin, and the reason Hashem had to do that is because of the midas adin. You have the midas adin arguing that why should you accept Menashe's tshuva? He's such a vile rasha, so like it's trying to prevent Menashe's tshuva from getting in the normal way, so Hashem has to, so to speak, make a tunnel over there to allow his tshuva to come through, to bypass the midas adin. The Gemara continues, having brought a drasha of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Shimon Yochai about the kings of Yehuda. So now the Gemara brings more drashas about various other kings of Yehuda. By now we're mostly done talking about Menashe. We talked about before, back on Daf Kuf Aleph, we talked about what happened to him, how he did Tshuva, and we talked about on Daf Kuf Beis, we learned yesterday all about the story with him and Rav Ashi. So now the Gemara doesn't really need to go into much more detail about him, although we'll get back to him a little bit on Amud Beis. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Shimon Yochai, my dichtiv bereshis mamlachus Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, uchtiv bereshis mamlachas Tzidkia. By those two kings, it uses the expression bereshis. Now it means, of course, at the beginning of their reign, but the question is, why does it have to use this expression, Bereshis, as opposed to Bashona or Yishona or something like that? The only other place where we have Bereshis is Bereshis Bara Elokim at the beginning of the Torah. So it sounds like there's something newly created over here. So it sounds like in their times, there's a Maisa Bereshis. So what does that mean? And the question is, in particular, until now, where they're not kings, why are we using the expression veracious regarding their kingship as though it's like the creation of a new kingship that didn't exist before? So the answer is Ella. It means like this. Hashem was thinking, because of Yehoyakim, who was a terrible Rasha, we learned previously about him on Daf Pei Beis, we're going to talk about him more on Amud Beis today, so he was a terrible Rasha, so Hashem was thinking to return, to bring the whole world back to Toyo Vavoyu, to destroy the whole world and bring it back to the Toyo Vavoyu, before Ma'is Bereshis, Bishvil Yehoyakim, because of Yehoyakim, who was such a Rasha, as we'll learn on Amud Beis. Nistakob Ve'Doroi, but Hashem took a look at the generation of Yehoyakim, and the Gemara explains that Yehoyakim himself was a Rasha, but his subjects were mostly Tzadikim, and so to speak, Hashem calmed down and was willing to let the world continue. On the other hand, and so that's with Yehoyakim, that's why it says Bereshis by Yehoyakim. And Bikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahachzer Sa'olam Kol L'Torah Vavayu, Bishvil Dodo Shav Tzidkia. Then in the next generation, Hashem was going to restore, was going to bring back the whole world, the Torah Vavayu, because of the generation of Tzidkiyahu, who were mostly Rishoyim. Now by that time, you have the Chorash V'Hamaskir, the great Tamar Chachamim, from Eretz Yisrael, had been taken into Golos in Bavel. So therefore, so Ben Yehoyada points out that they're living at the time, of course, but they're lacking in Schusim because they're not in Eretz Yisrael. They're not able to do the mitzvahs at Tlurias Ba'aretz. In general, the Gemara says elsewhere in Ksubas that a person living outside Eretz Yisrael is lacking a connection with the Ebishter that a person has in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore their Schus can't help. Meanwhile, what about you have Yirmiyahs in Eretz Yisrael? Ben Yehoyada points out, all very nice, but he's only a Yochid. The king is one. If you have the rabbim or tzaddikim, then good. If you have the king as a tzaddik, also good, because he corresponds to the rabbim. But Yirmiyah, being neither one, his chus all by itself couldn't help. So therefore, so the Ebishter is thinking to restore the whole world, the Torah of the world, because b'shvil dorish of tzidkia, nistakel b'tzidkia, but then Hashem looked at tzidkia, and Hashem was appeased, because Tzidkiyahu himself was a tzaddik, and his chus therefore saved the entire world at that time. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean Tzidkia was a tzaddik? But Tzidkia namiksiv vayasa rabba in Hashem. The Pasuk says on him, he did evil in Hashem's eyes. And the answer is, because Tzidkia's problem was he could have protested against the Rishoyim of his generation, and he did not. So therefore, he's held guilty for the things that they did wrong. But he personally was a tzaddik. You find actually in Pesukim in Yirmiyah, you find a number of places where, for example, you have one place where Yirmiyah's enemies want to have him killed, and Tzidkia says, basically, there's nothing I can do to prevent you. So they threw him into a pit, etc., and then, so fine, Tzidkiyahu goes and has him schlepped out of there, but still, we see that Tzidkiyahu was unfortunately a weak king, and he wasn't standing up to the Rishoyim of his times. Now there are other things that Marshall talks about here in some detail and other Mephoshim talk about. The fact is there are places from which it sounds like Tzidkia was not that much of a tzaddik. There's a Gemara in Moed Katan that has an expression about Tzidkia that says the one mitzvah that he did was to schlep Yirmiyah out of that pit. So what do you mean based on that? We're saying over here that he's a tzaddik. So the number of answers, one of them being Tosfos explains over there that it means that's the only mitzvah of his that's recorded in the pasuk. Of course, he did lots of other mitzvahs throughout his lifetime, but that's the only one that the pasuk actually says explicitly. And there are a number of other answers. Marsha discusses over here the point. We do see that, he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He disobeyed, we learned about this not so long ago in Ein Yaakov, in Nedarim, about that Nebuchadnezzar had made him promise to not tell everybody about what he did with the live rabbits over there eating it, and then Sikio disobeyed, and then broke his shvuah. And he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and thereby brought the Churban. But here we're saying, in other words, that he did believe in what Yirmiyah said, and he was trying to follow it, but he did those things wrong, but in particular, he personally was saying a tzaddik, and the main really bad thing that he did was to not stand up to the Rishoyim of his generation. Continues the Gemara. V'omer Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. My dichtiv. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Ish Chacham Nishvat Es Ish Evil. The wise man argues against the foolish man. The rogaz, and he's angry. The sochak, and he's laughing and he's happy. The ein nachas, and he gets no nachas. One way or the other, he's trying various ways to get through to the evil, to the foolish person, and he's not. It's not working. Neither with anger nor with happiness. So, what is this referring to? So that this is going to refer to the kings of Yehuda in various generations. One point is, because it says v'rogaz and then v'sochak, then Yehoyada points out, if it said v'sochak, v'rogaz, then fine, you'd say originally he was happy with him, then he acted badly, so now v'rogaz, now he's angry at him. But you don't usually have the other way around, that he's going to be angry, and later on he's going to be happy with him, so therefore the Gemara is understanding that it's talking about two different people, but it's a continuum, because it's all kings of Yehuda. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ka'asti al Achaz. This is Hashem is saying, I was angry at Achaz, who, as we're going to learn later, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we're going to learn later on Amud Beis, was a big Rasha. We're going to learn further down on our Amud, was a big Rasha. So I was angry at him for his Avodah Zarah. So I handed him over to the power of the kings of Damascus, the kings of Aram, where the Pesukim describe how they invaded his kingdom and caused tremendous damage. What did he do? Zibach the Kitzur, Leila Kayem. He went and brought Korbonus and Keturus to their gods. Shenema, the apostle said, Yizbach Leila Kay Damascus Amakim Boy. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus that had struck against him by Yomer, and he said, Ki Malchia Kay Malchia Aram, Hey Mazrim. The gods of the kings of Aram are obviously helping them. Lahem as a beach, so he thinks to himself, I'm going to bring korbanos to them. The Yazaruni, and they'll help me also. Vehem hoyuloi lachshila v'chol Yisrael, and it caused a stumbling for him and for the whole Jewish people because people were following his idea and because he brought more disaster to the Jewish people through that. So we see, in other words, Hashem is saying, so I was v'rogaz, so I tried to treat Achaz harshly, that he should realize that Hashem is the one in charge, and that he needs to do tshuva, and instead that made things worse, and he decided instead to go and worship Avodah Zarah even more. Meanwhile, a few decades earlier, a couple of generations earlier, sichakti im Amatzia, I showed happiness, and I showed favor towards Amatzia, who was Achaz's great-grandfather, I gave over the kings of Edom into his hand. Amatzia had fought against Edom and won a great victory over there. And then the pasuk says, and what happened? He brought their idols and he started worshiping them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, and after Amatzia came back from striking and killing the Edom, he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and he set them up for himself as gods, and he bowed before them, and he brought korbanos to them. So in other words, Hashem is saying, I can't win. Whether I treat the malachim harshly, or whether I treat them with favor and help them win, either way, they go and worship Avodah Zarah. Now, what was Amatzia thinking to do such a thing? Achaz, at least we can sort of understand, but what was Amatzia thinking? So there's an explanation actually like this. The Pesukim describe over there how He had gone, he had won a great victory over Edom. He took 10,000 people of theirs and threw them off a cliff. So now he starts feeling like, you know, maybe these gods of Edom and whatever spiritual forces they represent, Malachim and whatever that they represent, they must be angry at me. So now let me go and worship them in order to appease them, in order to make them that they shouldn't be angry at me for the way I treated their people. But of course that was stupid of him. And in fact, a Navi comes to him. Rashi actually says over there that was his own brother Omot, who was a Navi, and comes and tells him, "What do you think you're doing?" So the point is, again, so that this is the Ish Chacham, Hashem, who's called Ish, Hashem Ish Mochama, is wise. He's coming against the Ish Evil, the foolish kings of Yehuda, and whether V'rogas or whether V'sochak ain't Nachas, he's not getting any Nachas from them, because they're not, Rashi says, Nachas is also Malashon Chas. They're not broken, they're not breaking themselves, they're not breaking the Yetzer Hara and doing Tshuva. So no matter what, they're still going and doing Avodah Zarah. This is like what people say. You cry about the master, about the person, and he doesn't know. And you smile at him, and he also doesn't know. Woe to a person who doesn't understand the difference between good and bad. So the same thing. In other words, expressing the idea of the pasuk in a popular phrase, that sometimes you have a person, he doesn't take a lesson either way. He doesn't learn when you're angry at him, when you're crying at him. He doesn't learn when you're smiling at him. He doesn't realize one way or the other, and he keeps on doing the same foolish things, and he doesn't even realize the difference. Okay. Another drasha of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. The pasuk says at the time of the Churban, when Nebuchadnezzar's army conquered Yerushalayim and went into the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk says Vayavoyu kol sarei melech bavel, all the officers of the king of Bavel came. Vayavoyu or Vayeshu, it actually says in the pasuk, b'shar hatovech, they all sat in shar hatovech. Shar hatovech literally means the middle gate. But you don't find any place else in Tanakh where it mentions that gate. Therefore, the Gemara Darshan's Amar Rav Yechon, Meshum Rav Shimon Yochai, Mokum Shemachatkin Boi Halachas. This means the place where they would cut and decide the halacha. So in other words, the Lishkas HaGozis. So they're sitting over there, and they're using that as their headquarters, where they're going to have their conference and decide what their next steps are. And the point is that the Gemara, as the Gemara often does, we're taking the hay of HaTovach and darshaning it as if it was a ches, which therefore gives us the word chituch, which means cut. So it's a cut to decide the halachas. So this was the Lishkas HaGozis. Amar Rav Papa, so again, Rav Papa says here's a popular proverb that expresses this idea. Hainu de'amri inchi, ba'astra de'more tolele zayne, in the place where the master used to hang up his weapons, tamon, in that same place, kubaraya, the degraded, the lowly shepherd, kulse tola, hangs up his bag. Or Rashi gives two explanations. Of course, one is that means not his. So one not his bag. Rashi's first explanation is it means his pitcher, and the second explanation means his cup. So in other words, like you have. So here you have. The master used to hang his weapons over there. He was a powerful soldier, and he would put his weapons over there. Now you have the lowly shepherd comes over there and puts his jug or his cup over there. The same way, in other words, here we have a place where the great Chachamim would sit and talk and decide things in Torah, and now you have instead Nebuchadnezzar's officers sitting over there and talking about whatever they were talking about. The Gemara says, Simon, als de botim loisa'una. Instead of botim, it's supposed to be kitois or kitim or whatever. This is the key words of the next few teachings that the Gemara is going to bring. Omer of Chisa, Omer of Yemi Ba'aba, my dichtiv, a posuk says in Mishlei, als de ish otzel avarti, I passed by the field of a lazy person, v'al kerem odem chasalev, and I passed by the vineyard of a person who's lacking in heart, who's not thinking. V'hine ola, and the posuk continues, v'hine ola chulo kim shonim, the entire thing was covered with thorns, and with weeds, kosu fon of charulim, the surface of it was the whole thing is grown weeds, kosu fon of charulim, the whole thing is covered with thorns, the geder avon of neherosa, and its stone fence was broken down. So in the simple thing, Shloimeh is warning us, you know, a person is lazy and doesn't take care of his field and his vineyard, then you learn from that the importance of hard work and taking care of your property. But here the Gemara Darshan's that this is referring to the downward spiral that you had towards the end of the time of the first Beis Hamikdash among the kings of Yehuda. The first one, I passed by the field of the lazy person, that refers to Ochaz. As we're going to learn on Amud Beis, he prevented people from learning Torah and prevented the Kohenim from doing the Avodah. Therefore, he's called Otzel, like he made people lazy as far as learning Torah and as far as doing the Avodah. It can also mean that he himself is lazy in terms of that he should have put more effort into learning and into coming close to Hashem, and then he would have realized that he shouldn't be doing these things. Anyway, so that's the first stage. V'alkerem odem chasalev, when it continues by the vineyard of a person who is lacking in heart, zem Menashe, that refers to Menashe. Whereas we're going to talk about on Amud Beis that he went beyond what Ochaz had done, and he did even worse averus. So therefore he's compared. So it's compared to a vineyard. The Jewish people b'chlal are compared to a vineyard, and he made things worse, and was chasar lev. Now one point is it's called chasar lev. The Yad Ramah says, in the sense, what he was doing is to anger Hashem, but he's doing things that are not even going to bring him any benefit. We're going to talk about on Amud Beis, for example, that he was cutting out names of Hashem from the Sefer Torah. Is that actually going to harm Hashem? Of course not. So he's chasar lev. He's like not even thinking, like, what am I going to gain from this? Ben Yehoyada points out a few other things as well. One of them is that lev are the beginning and end letters of the Torah. It starts with a beis, bereishis, and ends with a lamed, la'inei kol Yisrael. So therefore it represents that he's causing, that he's lacking, he's cutting out things from the Torah. The pasuk continues, v'hinei ola chula kimshonim, the pasuk continues that it was all covered with, that it was all growing thorns, ze omon, this refers to omon, the son of Menashe. He was mevatel the avoda completely, as the Gemara is going to explain. Each one of them outdid his predecessor. Ochaz, we said, prevented them from doing the avoda. Menashe actually tore down the Mizbeach, and omon was mevatel the avoda completely, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis. So that's all a kulik can show him. The whole thing is growing weeds, just like over there. We're going to say that the Mizbeach was covered with spider webs because nobody is using it. Kosu fon of Chavrulim, when the pasuk continues, the whole surface of it was covered with thorns. Zeh Yehoyakim, this refers to Yehoyakim, whereas we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, that he wanted to hide his face from Hashem and pretend like Hashem doesn't even exist. So therefore, the pasuk for Kosu fon of is referring to him. The Geder Avon of Neherosa, and when the pasuk finishes off, its stone fence was broken down. Zeh Tzidkiyahu, this refers to Tzidkiyahu, who, as we said, even though he was a tzaddik, he didn't stand up to the Rishoyim of his times, and the result was, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in his times. So in other words, Shlomo is telling us, Baruch HaKodesh, about this downward spiral as it went from generation to generation, and how, now in between, the Gemara is not mentioning over here, in between you had kings with Tzaddikim, you had Chizkiah after Ochaz, you had Yoshiyahu after Menashe and Amon. Nevertheless, though, they weren't able to prevent this spiral, this downward spiral here. The Gemara continues, here's another, the Gemara is bringing several drashas of Rav Chiya Ba'aba in the name of Rav Chista in the name of Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba. So, arba kittis in mekablos pnei shechina. There are four groups of people who are not going to be able to welcome the face of the shechina, meaning they may be talmid chachamim and tzaddikim, but they're doing these things, we have toto, mice, and tovim, but they're not going to have a close connection with Hashem and be able to see, of course, clearly. Kat leitzim, the people who are leitzim, who mock, this includes people who make jokes about Torah and mitzvahs and things like that and consider it something unimportant. Kat shakronim, the liars. Kat chanefim, the people who flatter, who tell Rishoyim you're doing fine, what you're doing is good. But kat masapra, Lashon Hara, and the group of people who speak Lashon Hara. And we learn each of them from Sukkim. Kat leitzim dichtiv, moshach yoder es leitzim. The pasuk says, Hashem has pulled away his hand from the leitzim, Hashem doesn't want to be close to them. Yoder also means his place, like Hashem is, so to speak, withdrawing his place, the place close to the Shekhinah, from the leitzim. You have, for example, you know, a lexus, for example, you know, you have sometimes a person has a hisodorus for Torah and mitzvahs. A person has learned something in a sefer, a person has heard something, a person has whatever, for any number of reasons, he all of a sudden has a greater motivation to learn Torah or be careful with a certain mitzvah or whatever. And then a lex comes along and says, big deal or something like that. We find, for example, a mullet called off the Jewish people. So that's what a lex is somebody who calls off somebody else's enthusiasm for Torah and mitzvahs. It's not so much a kofer necessarily. He's not a
scoffer. Scoffing.
Is what?
Like scoffing.
Scoffing, right, yeah. So that's the latzim. So we learn from that pasuk. Kat shakronim, the liars, dichtiv dervishkodim layikim lenegen enai. As the pasuk says, those who speak lies will not stand before my eyes, says Hashem. The pasuk says that a chonef, a flatterer, will not come before Hashem. And kat mesapre lashon hara, the pasuk says ki loy keil chofetz resha ozer. You Hashem are a God who does not desire evil, who does not desire wickedness. Lo yigur chara, evil will not live with you. Which the Gemara explains means tzaddik ata. You Hashem are a tzaddik, therefore lo yib the lo yib imgur chara, and therefore in your dwelling place there will not be evil. Now the pasuk is referring to Baal lashon hara. Rashi points out because the other psukim in that capital, this is capital Hey of Tillim, it mentions Hashem, you will destroy those who speak lies, ish domim u'mirma, people who speak words of blood and trickery. So it's Baal Lashon Hara, and afterwards also psukim after that, kirba mavos, kev vasuach groinam, it's all referring to Baal Lashon Hara. So now, when in the middle of that capital it says lo yigur chara, then we understand the ra that it's talking about is Baal Lashon Hara. So they don't belong anywhere near Hashem. So those are the four groups then. Here's another Jerusha from him. My dichtiv, the Pasuk says in Kapitel Tzadik Aleph and in Yoshev Vesey Elyon, Lois une elecha ra, no evil should befall you, the nega la yikra va'alacha, and no nega, no plague should come close to your tent. So what does this pasuk mean? Loisa unei lecha ra shalo yishlet b'hen or b'cha yetzahara. Means that the yetzahara should not have any control over you. Since we just said that ra means a baal lashon hara, which is called by the yetzahara. So therefore, so we're saying that that loisa unei lecha ra means that you should not be bothered by the yetzahara. The negra, or not be dominated by the Yetzirah, that Hashem should give you the strength to withstand it. The negra, la'yikra v'alacha, shalatimtza ishtacha safik nida b'shar shetavim min aderach. When you come home from a trip, you won't find that your wife is a safik nida. So ba'alacha refers to your wife. We often find that a man's wife is called his oihel, his tent. And the point is, now elsewhere in Bav Metzia, this is also brought, Rashi explains over there, it means you won't find her a suffolk nida, and how much more so a vadai nida, meaning you'll actually be able to have relations. Here though, Rashi explains it does mean specifically a suffolk nida. It's one thing if she's a vadai nida. A person says to himself, okay, listen, you know, it can't be helped, this is a natural thing. But when it's a suffix, he starts second-guessing himself. I've just come home from a trip. We really want to be together. She's only a suffix. Should I? Shouldn't I? And it bothers him more so. So therefore, the bracha is that he won't be in that situation. So that's the bracha that he won't have that. Marsha also adds if it's vada nida, then it means it came at the normal time. Again, that's a normal thing, but suffolk nida by definition is where it's not expected. So it means like something's wrong. So therefore, the bracha is that shouldn't happen. Another explanation. Another explanation. No evil should befall you. Means you shouldn't be frightened by bad dreams and bad thoughts when you're asleep. And when it says there should be no nega, there should be no plague by your tent, this refers then, it's going to refer to the tent of your household and of your tamidim. That you won't have children or tamidim who burn their food in public, which is the Gemara's way of saying that they take what they learned of Torah and they go and they misuse it and become open rishoyim. In uncensored Gemaras, it adds, "Kigun Yeshu Anoitzvi," as you have the example of Yeshu, where he did that with what he had learned from Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya, as we'll learn in a few dafim. So therefore, that's also the bracha, that there shouldn't be a nega in your tent, meaning your tent, your household, and among your talmidim, who you taught Torah, and the tents of Torah. So the Gemara says, Ad kan berchei aviv. Now you look at that kapitel, you notice that there's a difference between the beginning, between the first part of that kapitel and the end. It starts of Yeshua v'seisei oim, etzer shaka yisloinon, oim al hashem machzim sudasi, ki hu yatzil chum epach yachush, etc. And it goes all the way until v'nega le'yikub alacha. Then you start having kimal och v'tzav alach. So there's a number of distinctions. First of all, we see, So Rashi points out like this. You have a father versus a mother have different types of brachas they give their children. A father is going to give brachas like that. You shouldn't be bothered by the Yetzer Hara. You shouldn't find your wife Satuk Nidhi. You shouldn't have Hihurim Royim, etc. So those kinds of things are a father's brachas. A mother being more soft-hearted about her son, she's davening that he should be saved from actual, from practical dangers that he might face. That he shouldn't stumble, that he should be saved from Shadim and other spirits like that. So therefore, that's one reason to understand that we're talking about up till this point is David giving a bracha to Shlomo, and after that is his mother chiming in with her brachas. And then there's other points as well. Also, Marshall points out also that up till then, you have him mentioning Hashem as the one giving the brachas. After that, you have ki malacha v'tzav alach. Hashem will command his malachim to protect you. So that's more mother's bracha. So therefore, the Gemara says, ad kan berchei aviv, up until this point, David was giving a bracha to his son. Mikan ve'elach berchat ima. The psukim after that is his mother's bracha to him. As the pasuk continues, ki malacha v'tzav alach, Hashem should command his malachim in about you, the shmorcha b'chol derachacha, to guard you on all your ways. Al kapayim yisa'uncha v'goyma, they should carry you on their hands, as the pasuk continues, pentigat ve'ebr naglacha, so you don't stumble on stones. These are kinds of brachas that a mother thinks to give her child. She continues, al shachal ofes and tidrich v'goyma, you'll be able to step over and not be harmed by the lion and the viper. So ad kan berchat ima. So those couple of psukim about the dangers that a child might face and that he should be saved from that, this is his mother's bracha. Mikan ve'elach berchat shamayim. Then Hashem comes in with more brachas in that capital as well, because you have the end of the pasuk. Because now up until that point in the capital was all in third person. Yoshev v'sei se'oyen, oimal Hashem, I say to Hashem, machsiyum sedasi, ki hu yatzilcha, etc. And ki malach v'tzavalach. Now, at the end of the capital, you have it's in first person. Therefore, we understand that now it's Hashem speaking. The Gemara tells us there were three partners in a child, the father, the mother, and Hashem. So now all three of them are giving him brachas in this capital. So Hashem says, Ki vi choshak, because he desired me, va'afaltehu, therefore I will rescue him. Asagvehu, I'll strengthen him. Ki yodashmi, because he knew my name, because he knows how to relate to Hashem. Yikreini ve'enehu, therefore he will call to me, and I will answer him. Ima enechi v'sara, I am with him in his troubles. Achaltehu, I will extract him from those troubles. Va'achabdehu, and I'll give him honor. Urdach yavim asbiehu, I'll satisfy him with long years. Va'arehu, bishuasi, and I'll show him my salvation. So those three psuk in there are Hashem speaking with a bracha to Shlomo. Another drasha, Amr of Shimon Lakish, my dichtiv, a pasuk says in Iyov, v'yimana mirshoyim oram, the light is withheld from Rishoyim, Uzroya Roma Tishover, and the arm that's held high up will be broken. So the Rishoyim's power is going to be broken. Now you have there the ayin of the word Rishoyim is hanging. If you look in a handwritten Tanakh or in many printed Tanakhs, you'll find that the ayin of that word Rishoyim is printed not in the same line as the other letters, but a little bit higher. It's like as if it was suspended, and it's suspended in the middle of the word, as if it was left out, and then it was put in afterwards. Yeah, so if you look at a klaf, but also in many printed Tanakhs, you'll find it as well. You have in Tilim, you have in Kapitel Pei, you have such a thing. When it says in Kapitel Pei, Yachas Mena Chazir Miyar, you have that. And you look in the Oyo Yosef Yitzchak Tilim, or in the back of the Siddur, you'll find that the ayin is printed smaller and higher than the other letters. And there's a footnote over there that says ayin Tzloya, that it's supposed to be. The ayin is like that, it's hanging. You have four places in Tanakh. You have, so here the Gemara is doubting one of them. Why is this ayin hanging and higher and then placed higher than the other letters? It teaches us, Kivin Shanasa Odom Rosh Milamata, Nasa Rosh Milamaila. Because we darshan the word Rishoyim as though it's lacking the ayin, as if, therefore, as if it says Roshim, which means poor. So it means when a poor person becomes poor down here, when people hate him in this world, Nasa is not in Rosh Abris, Nechemenu, like it says in Pirkei Avos, at Nasa Rosh Milamaila. Then he becomes wicked from, then he becomes poor from above as well, meaning like it says in Tekeravis, Kol She'in Ruach HaBriyas, Nechayemenu. If people are not getting along with a person because he does, because you know, they don't like him because of his bad midas, then Hashem doesn't approve of him either. So therefore, so the ayin is hanging so that we read the word as if it didn't have it, as if it was Roshim, was Vimonami Roshim Oram. So the Gemara says, V'loy Nichtevei Klal, well, in that case, then why write the ayin at all? Just write the word Roshim. The answer is Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer disagree. Why? Chad Omim from the Kvodah Shal David, v'chad Omim from Kvodah Shal Nechemya ben Chachalia. One says because of the honor of David. David was hated and pursued and then persecuted throughout his life. But he's not in this category of that. Therefore, he's Rosh Milamayla. So therefore, the pasuk didn't just want to say Roshim and make this implication because that would be a slur against David. Where he was persecuted and hated, and it's not because he's a Rosh Milamayla. And the other explanation is Nechemya ben Chachalia, Nechemya from Sefer Ezra and Nechemya, he had a lot of enemies among the Goyim who were trying to harm him because he's rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim and then strengthening Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out he even had Jewish enemies as well. There were Jews, there were prominent Jewish families who were allying themselves with Nehemiah's enemies, and they were also against him. So therefore, so again, if it said Roshim, then we would mistakenly think that it means that anybody like that, where it's not. It refers only to Rishoyim. It doesn't refer to Tzadikim, such as David and Nehemiah. The Yad Ramah has a whole different explanation of this piece over here. He says that the girsa is that when a person becomes a Rosh, when he becomes a head, a leader, Lamata, then he becomes Rosh, as in Rosha Lamaila. So in other words, the point is that a person becomes a leader, often he also becomes a Rosha. But the Gemara is saying, on the other hand, you have David and Nehemiah, who were not like that. They were leaders, and they remained great tzaddikim. Now, the point of it is, what do you mean? There's lots of leaders in Jewish history who remain tzaddikim. The point of it is, Maharsha says that it's one thing. Not Maharsha. Ben Yehoyada, I think, says the vote is, in other words, it's one thing that. That's one thing, for example, when a person is a leader because he's a great Talmud Chacham, and that's what gained him leadership, then of course that doesn't mean he's a Rosha because of that. And if he inherited the kingship from his father, also nothing wrong with that. But here we're talking about David and Nehemiah, their leadership, they didn't inherit it from their father, and their leadership is not so much, I mean, they were Bnei Torah, they were great Talmud Chachamim, but their leadership is much more a political leadership rather than a Torah leadership. So therefore, so you would think that there's something wrong with them, and therefore the Pasuk puts in the to stress that, no, this whole concept we're talking about over here is only as far as Rishoyim, not as far as Tzaddikim. Okay, getting back now to the kings of Yehuda, to the wicked kings that we said, well, first getting back to the wicked kings that we talked about in our Mishnah, Tanan Rabbanan, Menashe ha-yeshoyne chamishim b'chamisha ponim b'toras koinim. Menashe was taught 55 different ways of learning Toras Koinim, which is Chumash Vayikra, Keneged Shnei Malchusei, corresponding to the years of his kingship. So Rashi explains, every year of his kingship, he would darshan Chumash Vayikra in a different style and learn new dinim from it. So even though the point is, he was a terrible Rosha, as we said before, but nevertheless, he liked learning and darshaning in Torah. And he was doing that, which in a way makes his Averis all the greater then. It means, in other words, he's learning about the Korbanos, which are meant to bring us close to Hashem, and he was going at the same time and worshipping Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, the Yad Ramah says, I mean, come on, he's such a Rosha, and you're telling me he's learning Toras Koinim for 55 years? No, he says the other way around. And the schus of the fact that he was able to darshan Toras Koinim in 55 ways is why Hashem gave him a 55-year reign, which when you get down to it, that is actually the longest reign of a Jewish king that you find, and that you find anywhere in Tanakh. The next most after him was his ancestor Uzziah, was 52 years. So where does he get 55 years in the schos of this? Ahav Shmonim v'chamisha. Ahav was able to darshan Toras Koinim in 85 ways. Yerovam Meo Shloisha, and Yerovam in 103 ways. So in other words, the point is, again, they were all great, outstanding Talmid Chachamim, but they were also unfortunately Rishoyim and used their knowledge of Torah in the wrong way. And therefore, again, that makes their guilt for what they did wrong. That makes their guilt all the greater, the fact that they knew how to darshan Torah in so many ways, and nevertheless they were still Rishoyim. Why the numbers 85? Why Dafka those numbers 85 and 103? So one point is that. So Ben Yehoyada makes the point that 85 is gematria peh. He mentions a couple of things, but one explanation is he actually gives a different. There's an explanation that 85 is gematria peh, as in the mouth. We find that the pasuk mentions people who kiss Baal with their mouths. So the idea would be, according to that maybe Achav is the one who came up with that concept that people should do that. So in other words, he was a Rosha. That shows an example of his rishus. But on the other hand, we're saying that he had this ability, he had this tremendous ability to, this is here, from Reb Tzadik HaKohen explains this, Reb Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin explains that the 85 corresponds to the way that he became a Rosha like that and was getting people to kiss and to honor Avodah Zarah. As far as Yerovam, 103, Gematria Eagle, because again, he made the Eagle. So each of them, it shows, in other words, that he had tremendous power of Torah, but nevertheless, he used it completely the wrong way. The Gemara says, Tanya, Hoyerab Meir Oimer. It's interesting, by the way, we're mentioning this. Yerovam had 103 ways, and we're on Daf Kuf Gimel now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Tanya, Hoy Rav Meir, I mean, here's another one. Rav Meir says, lost his place in Olam Haba. Avshalom ein lechelik Olam Haba. He says that Avshalom also lost his place in Olam Haba. Shenema, vayaku es Avshalom, vayimisuhu. The pasuk says they struck Avshalom and they killed him. From which we understand, vayakul ba'olam hazeh vayimisuhu l'olam haba. So they struck him in this world and they killed him in olam haba. Now there's many places in Tanakh where it says about a person that they struck him and they killed him. But Maharsha explains, since afterwards the pasuk says that they took his body and they buried it under a heap of stones, then obviously he's dead. The pasuk doesn't have to mention that they killed him, and therefore we understand that it means that he lost his place in olam haba. Elsewhere, the Gemara tells us in Sota that actually David davened on his behalf, and there's two opinions what David accomplished for him over there. One is to bring his head and his body back together, and the other one is to bring him to Olam Haba. So the mayor would be going, Tosfos points out over there that a mayor is following the opinion that he didn't come to Olam Haba, just that his head and his body were reattached. And that was what David was able to accomplish with his tefillah. And the point would be, in other words, he's not listed in our Mishnah, according to that, because our Mishnah is focusing on the kings. And Avshalom, even though he tried to make himself a king, never actually became one. The Gemara continues, Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar, Omer Mishim Rav Meir, what about, you have other wicked kings of Yehuda and Yisrael that we've talked about before. Ochaz v'achaz yevachol malchi Yisrael shakos behen v'yasara v'ini Hashem. Ochaz, we talked about before, and Achaziah, that we talked about yesterday, that he was cutting out names of Hashem in the Sefer Torah and replacing them with Avodah Zarah names, and we said he was killed by Yehu, and all the Malchi Yisrael of whom it says, Vayasara Be'ene Hashem, which is actually all of them except for one, there's only one Melech Yisrael who it doesn't say on him, Vayasara Be'ene Hashem, a fellow named Shalom ben Yavish. Interestingly, the Malbim actually explains that this Shalom, when he became king, he actually planned to get rid of the Eglei Azahav. And that's why it doesn't say it in Yasser Aben Hashem. But the Malbim continues. Other people did not appreciate that, and then, which is why he ended up getting assassinated after a reign of only 1 month. A fellow named Menachem Ben Gadi came and assassinated him, and continued with the Eglei Azahav. So other than Shalom Ben Yavish, we're saying all the other kings of Yisrael, it says on them, Vayasar Aben Hashem, so Reb Shimon Elazar says, in the name of Reb Meir, Loi Chayin V'Loi Nidonin. They're not going to come alive by Olam Haba with the Tzadikim, but they're also not punished in Gehenim. And why is that? The Yad Ramah says, because after all, they do have a certain schus. They fought on behalf of the Jewish people. So in that schus, they don't get sent to Gehenna, but on the other hand, they would Rishoyim, so therefore they don't get a place in Olam Haba either. Ben Yehoyada says what happens is then that they're nisgalgal in from generation to generation. They have to go in Gilgulim. Eventually, various parts of their neshamas get cleaned up in every Gilgul, and then more and more they'll eventually be cleaned up to the point where there's zoicha l'chayy on Abba. Now, getting back to Menashe, the pasuk says, "V'gam dam noki shofach Menashe harbe ma'od." Menashe also spilled much innocent blood. Adash emilias Yerushalayim pelafer until he had filled up Yerushalayim from end to end, levad mechatosah shehechti es Yehuda, besides for the fact that he committed sins and caused the kingdom of Yehuda to sin, lasa sadah, but any Hashem to do evil in Hashem's eyes. So what particular thing are we referring to by him spilling a lot of blood? Hocha tagimu, here in Babel, they explain, Jehorag Yeshaya, that it refers to the fact that he killed Yeshaya. The Gemara tells us in the whole story in Yevamos, he accused Yeshaya of contradicting the Torah in various ways, and therefore that he's a false Navi, and Yeshaya ran away and got himself hidden b'derech nes inside a tree, and then they brought swords, and they cut open the tree and killed Yeshaya. Marsha points out, therefore, the word pel afer can refer to that. Yeshaya had spoken with his mouth against the Jewish people many years before. He had called them am tmeis chasayim, and because of that, When the saw cut through the tree over there, it cut at the place of his mouth, and that's the Gemara says, that was his punishment for having spoken that way, so therefore the killing of Yeshaya can be described as pelafem, mouth to mouth. The Ma'arova Amri in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they explained, Sha'ofet Selam Masli Elephane Adam, he made a statue that was so heavy that it took 1,000 people to carry it, over Choyem V'yem, Horegas Kulam, and every day he would kill all of them. People were carrying it, and it was too much for them to carry, and they would die from the effort. So therefore, every day he's causing people to be killed. The Gemara says, "Keman ozla hodo amar Rav Abachana." Which of these opinions? Now, yeah, according to which of these opinions does it go? This Rav Abachana says, "Shkul neshama shal tzaddik echad kenegad kol olam kulay." The neshama of one tzaddik is equal to the whole world. Keman d'ami Yeshaya horag. That would be according to the opinion that he killed Yeshaya, and therefore the pasuk can call it that he filled Yerushalayim with blood. Pel afer, even though according to that it's only one person that he killed, because that one person Yeshaya is equivalent to everybody else. The Gemara continues. Ksif pesel uchsif psilim. Now, when it comes to Menashe, one pasuk says that he put a pesel, an idol, in the Beis Hamikdash, and then an uchtiv. But another pasuk says psilim, that he put up statues in the plural. So, what was it? One or many? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yechon, b'tchila osa le'paritzuf echad, u'l'vasoif osa le'abar paritzufim." At first, he made an idol with only one face. Later on, he made four faces to the idol, kedesh tira shchina v'tichos, so that the shchina should see it and be angry. He wanted deliberately to anger Hashem. So the idea is like this: if it has four faces in every direction that the shchina comes in, so to speak, it's going to see this idol and be angry. So therefore, he did that dafka lahachis. Marsha points out also, we have the Chayis HaKodesh, are described as having four faces. So like he wants to make his idol paralleling that, as if to in order to anger Hashem, that Hashem has the Malachim with four faces that are serving him, and instead Menashe is going to have this idol with four faces. So the Gemara continues, Ochaz hemidid ba'aliyah. When Ochaz, who we said was with the beginning of that downward spiral that we talked about before, he put his idol in the attic of the Beis Hamikdash. He didn't dare to put it in the ground floor, but he put it in the attic. Shenema, as the pasuk mentions, Vesa Mizbachos Asher Al Agog, and the later on when Yeshayahu was destroying Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, it mentions the altars that were on the roof, Alias Ochaz Vegomer, the upper floor of Ochaz. So we understand, in other words, that there was an idol that Ochaz had put on an upper floor. Menashe had midi behechel. Menashe went further and placed the idol in the hechel itself. He put the statue of the Asherah they had made in the house that Hashem had said to David and his son Shlomo, in this house and the Yerushalayim which I've chosen from among all the other Shvatim, I will place my name forever. So Menashe desecrated that by putting the idol in there. Omoin, who we said was Menashe's son, and he went even worse than Menashe, he put the idol actually in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. Shenema, as we find a pasuk in Yeshaya, the Hashem, so to speak, complains, the mat, the bed, is too narrow to spread out, to stretch out, and the And the Masecha, the molten cast image, Tzara, is too narrow, Kiskanis, for coming in. So in other words, Hashem is saying, basically, my Shechina can't be in the Bais Mikdash if there's going to be this kind of thing there. So my Kikotza, and the point is, the Matzah refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the sense, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was like the marital bed between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Shechina rested between the poles of the Aron and between the Kruvim, and you have like a husband together with his wife. So my Kikotza Matzah means today, Omer of Shmuel Manachmeni, Omer of Yenison, Ki kotzer amatzah zeh. Hashem is saying this bed is too narrow. Meistorer all of shnei reim keechod. The word meistoreya we're darshening as meistorer reim. It's too narrow for two rivals to both be dominating over. And in other words, Hashem is basically saying it's either me or the idol. We can't both be here. And what does the pasuk mean when it continues that the masecha is too narrow, kiskanis from coming in? That means Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Achmeni, Reb Yonason ki avim motel ha'ikra have a kabochi. When Reb Yonason, when he was learning and he would reach this pasuk, he would cry. He would say, Misha Kosaba, the Kiskanis refers to when Hashem gathered together the water of the Yamsuf and split the Yamsuf. Misha Kosaba, Koinis Kaneid Mehayam, the one Hashem of whom it says that he gathers together the waters of the sea like a pillar. How could it be that a Masecha, that a molten cast image of Avodah Zarah becomes a rival to Hashem? So that's what the pasuk means. Masecha is tzora; it becomes a rival, kiskanis, relative to Hashem, who is mechanis, who brought together the water of the Yamsuf. Marashah explains, in other words, Hashem made the world very, very wide, and now, so to speak, Hashem made that originally you had the whole world was covered with water, and then Hashem put all the water in one place, in the oceans, and the lakes, and all that, and now, so to speak, like the Kodesh HaKadoshim is too narrow for Hashem. Also, Marshall explains, we have, for example, we'll talk about later on, about Pesel Micha, that when they had Pesel Micha with them, even when they crossed the Yamsuf, and that didn't prevent Hashem from doing the Ness anyway. So now, Rabbi Yonason would cry, how comes it that later on, now Hashem can't tolerate, and he won't allow, because there's an idol over there that his Shechina should be there, where that didn't stop him by Kriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara continues, here's other ways in which they went from bad to worse in these generations. Ochaz bitalos avoida. Ochaz prevented the Kohenim from doing the avoida. V'chosam as ha-Torah, and he closed up the Torah, as in the Medrash mentions elsewhere, he closed up all the shuls and vat in Medrash, so people can't learn Torah. Shenema, as opposed to sir to Uda, close up the testimony, which refers to the Torah, which is the testimony between Hashem and us Jewish people, and it also refers to the Avodah, which is also like that. Chasoim Torah b'limudai, seal up the Torah among those who learn it. Yeshaya is saying over there in the Pesukim, never mind that, Ochaz is never going to be successful in suppressing Torah from the Jewish people. Yeshaya goes on in the Pesukim over there to say, there's me and there's my Talmidim that Hashem gave me, Hinei Onechim, Ayolodim, Asher Nosam LeHashem, and we're going to outlive and we're going to outlast all of Ochaz's schemes. But we see over here from this pasuk that he is preventing them from doing the Avodah, which is called Te'uda, and also preventing them from learning Torah. The Medrash has an expression that Ochaz was saying, the famous expression, Im ein gdoyim ein kiyoshim. If there's no young kid goats, then there eventually won't be any mature goats. So he thought, if he can prevent the children from learning Torah in their cheder, then eventually there won't be any mature Tamar Chachamim, and the whole Torah will be forgotten and everything. So that was what he was scheming to do. Menashe koder asazgoris. Menashe went and did beyond that. He cut out the names of Hashem from the Sefer Torah, v'horas ha-mizbeach, and he tore down the mizbeach. So in each of those ways, he's going beyond what Ochaz had done. Omain did even worse. Sorach ha-Torah, he burnt the Torah, v'hel shmamis al-gabei ha-mizbeach, and he brought shmamis on the mizbeach. Rashi explains that shmamis means spiders. He prevented the avodah from happening altogether, so therefore the mizbeach became covered with cobwebs because it's not being used. A different explanation, and there's a creature named Shmamis is mentioned in Mishlei, and there's a number of different explanations that the Mefoshim have over there what a Shmamis is. One explanation is, in fact, it means a spider, but there's also explanations that it means a lizard, or a monkey, or a parrot, or different things like that. So the Yad Ramah says that Hel Shmamis, Agabem Zbeach, may mean also that Oman took in particular, he says, a parrot and offered it as on the Mizbeach, and it's a Tomei Dikaburin. So that's, he's doing that, and like to openly mock Hashem. Not only the Mizbeach is not going to be brought, used for the actual Korbanos, but he's going to go bring disgusting creatures like that as a Korban on it. Similarly, as far as Arias, they went from bad to worse. Ochaz Hitiras Erva, Ochaz announced to people that Arias are mutter in general. Menashe Baal Achoisei, in particular the Erva, some of the Mephoshim will explain over here, the Erva that he allowed is an Eshes Ish. Menashe Baal Achoisei, Menashe actually had relations with his sister. Omen Baal Imai, and Omen had relations with his mother. Shenema, as the pasuk says about him, ki hu omen hirba ashma. He omen did tremendously more guilt. In fact, Maharal Shor says that maybe the Gemara is doubting the word omen meloshen aim, meloshen his mother. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar disagree when it says hirba ashma that he did much more guilt. What does that mean? Chad amash asarach as a Torah. One says that it means, like we said before, they burnt the Torah. But chad amash baal ima, and the other one says the pasuk is mentioning this point that he had relations with his mother. And
was the daughter of
the Omen was the son of Menashe.
Flota,
no, that's Amon. That's Amon with an ayin. Oh. This is Omen with an aleph. This is one of the later kings of Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Omra loy ima, his mother said to him, Klum yeshlacha hanam and makam shiyotzasim imenu. How could you possibly have hanam from the place he came out? A normal person doesn't have a taira for such a thing. Omallah, and he answers, Klum ani oseh lo hachas es bodi. Do you think I'm doing it for any other reason other than to anger Hashem? So we see that he was a much worse Russia than the bad kings before him. As we said on Amud Aleph, we had the pasuk about him. The Gemara had brought the pasuk on him that v'hinei olach kulei kimsonim, that there's kimsonim, that the whole field is covered with weeds, refers to Amun. Things are really going bad in his time. By the way, the pesukim eventually mentioned that after 2 years of rain, he was assassinated. And actually, the Dodos HaDeshrenim has a whole explanation of it, that what happened was the people of his times, the tzaddikim of his times, were thinking, you know what, this is getting out of hand over here. You have Menashe. Fine, Menashe did trouble, but now you have Omen, who's even worse. Who knows how bad it's going to get? They decided, you know what, it's time that we got rid of that whole family altogether, and we'll find somebody else from a different branch of Malchus Beis David who are not quite so corrupt, and we'll make him the new king. What ended up happening, though, the pasuk says, is the Ama Oret, the plain people, the ones who liked Avodah Zarah and all that, they went and assassinated those assassins and made Yoman's son Yoshiyahu, who was all of 8 years old at the time, they made him king. They figured he's a little kid, he grew up in such an environment, we'll be able to mold him according to our ways, and we'll continue to have Avodah Zarah and all these Avedas. In the end, Yoshiyahu turned out to be a great tzaddik. So neither side expected that, but yeah. So the Gemara continues, Ki osi Yehoyakim. Now eventually Yehoyakim came along, and we said he was the fourth one in that chain. He's the grandson of Omen. You have after Omen, so you have Yeshua who became king. He was a tzaddik. He ruled for 31 years. He was killed in battle against Pari Nechai. Then you had various sons of Yeshua who were king one after the other, and the second one of them was Yehoyakim. So when Yehoyakim came along, Omar, he says, Kamai lo yadi la aguzi. The earlier generations didn't know how to anger Hashem. He's saying, I can do even better than them. Klum onur tzuchen el oroi. What do we need Hashem for, after all, says Yehoyakim, only for the light that he gives for the world? We don't need him. Yesh lanu zahav pavayim shan mishtam shen boi. We have zahav pavayim, which is a brilliant type of gold, that we can produce light that way. Yitul oroi, let Hashem take back his light. So like he's denying Hashem completely. The other ones, at least, the other ones at least recognize Hashem in some way, but Yehoyakim is saying we don't even need Hashem at all. Omruloi, the people of his time told him, and again, like we learned on Amud Aleph, the people of his time were tzaddikim, so they're trying to talk about this. And what do you mean that we have gold? The gold and silver itself belongs to Hashem. Hashem says the silver and the gold all belong to me. But Yehoyakim says, no, Kvar Nasir Lanu, Hashem gave us all the silver and the gold. Shenema Hashemayim, Shemayim Hashem, Ba'arth Nasan Levnei Adam. The heavens belong to Hashem and the earth he gave to human beings. So therefore, Yehoyakim claims, in other words, the concept that the Pasuk expresses in the words, Ozav Hashem Es Ha'aretz. Hashem has abandoned the earth. In other words, Yehoyakim took the view that many Goyim did in those times also, that, yeah, Hashem created the world in the first place, but then he has no further connection with it, and he delegates it to the Malach. Him and to us and whatever to run things. So the Gemara says, so Omalei Rav le Rav Bamori. So now the question is, Rav asked Rav Bamori, his name Malay Manu was Yahoyakim. Why indeed is Yahoyakim not mentioned in our Mishnah among the kings who lost their place in Olam Haba? Mishum dechtive, is it because it says about him in the passage, the yes the divya Yahoyakim v'say a voice of Asher Asa, all the remaining things about Yahoyakim and the disgusting things that he did, v'hanimtza olav, and what was found on him, and the Gemara interjects, my v'hanimtza olav, what do we mean by that, what was found on him, Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, so Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar disagree what it means was found on him, meaning this is something which he did, which they only discovered on his body after he died. One said that he engraved the name of Avodah Zarah on his male organ, like as if he wants to say, any time that I have relations, any time I have children and anything, is all dedicated to Avodah Zarah. The other one says, he engraved the name of Hashem on that part of his body, which is to degrade Hashem, like he's going to put Hashem's name on that part of his body. Anyway, the point is, it's called Vanim Tz'olav. Marshall explains, he was, again, the people of his times being tzaddikim, he wouldn't do this openly. So he did this in a private way, and they only discovered it on his body after he died. So the question is, Rava is saying, given that he was such an outstanding Rasha, why is he not in our Mishnah among the ones who lost their place in Olam Haba? Amalei, so Rava Bar Mori answers him, Bamalochim lo shamaiti, among the kings, I taka haven't heard, why not? The Hedyotis shamaiti, but I can tell you of something similar that I learned as far as the Hedyotis. When it says in our Mishnah that there were four Hedyotis, four commoners who lost their chelik in Olam Haba, and the question is, and it's named Mavlei Monuas Micha. Why is Micha, the one of Pesel Micha, why is he not listed? So Rava Bar Mori says, I can give you an answer that says, as far as him, and maybe then based on that, we can give a different answer as far as Yehoyakim. Eventually, the answer comes out to be basically because he was punished in this world. We learned about previously on Daf Pei Beis. We're going to learn again tomorrow the story of how his skull eventually was still around hundreds of years later and eventually was burnt. So that was his kapara, and therefore that gained him after all a place in Olam Haba. But anyway, as far as Micha, says Rava Bar Mori, if named Malay Monuas Micha, why is Micha not included in the category of Enla Chelik Olam Haba? The reason is because Peter Mitsuya La Ovre Drachim, because his bread was always available for wayfarers. He was a big Machnes Orach, and in that schus, therefore. So the Yad Ramah explains that doesn't mean he lost his Chelik Olam Haba. It just means he's not listed because out of respect for that he was a Machnes Orach. But in fact, the Yad Ramah learns that Rava Bar Mori is saying he did in fact lose his place in Olam Haba. He's just not listed out of respect for that. There is a different explanation though that it means that he actually won his place in Olam Haba because of the schus of that. Ben Yehoyada points out, after all, among those wayfarers may have been Tamin Chachamim, who the result was they were enabled in the future to do more, to learn more Torah and do more mitzvahs, and therefore Micha gets a certain credit for that. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Kola Oyver Vashav El Halavim. Anyone who goes back and forth is to the Levian. So meaning, in other words, therefore, that we see from that Micha was a generous Baal Tzedakah, and anyone who came and went would go through him and through the Levi who he had as his priest. Now the problem with that is there's no such pasuk anywhere in Tanakh kolo over v'shav el Levian. And in fact, early printings of the Gemara and the Ein Yaakov do not have this pasuk at all. The Maharshal puts it in the Gemara because Rashi quotes it. So where did Rashi get such a pasuk from? So one explanation is you have the pasuk that talks about by the Chetah Egel, where Moshe tells the Levim, Ivru Vashuvu, go back and forth in the Machna and find anybody who worshipped the Egel and kill him. So now the Gemara is sort of paraphrasing that pasuk to say that later on, also when there was Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, which the Levim ought to be the ones who prevent that from happening, and here you have the other way around. Micha had his priest of that Avodah Zarah, a Levi, not only it was actually Moshe's own grandson, but nevertheless we see that Kola Ovre Vashav, we see this Levi was misusing his position as a Levi, but nevertheless anybody who's coming through is getting a generous meal from Micha and from this Levi. And therefore again, either because of that they're not listed, even though they did in fact lose their place in Olam Haba, or maybe even that they regained it because of their tzedakah, because of their gemilas chasadim.